Shanti Nirvanam Panjasa Vashnava Aham
Deva Hotiru Vacha
Kachit Tvayuchita Bhakti
Kidrishi Mama Gochara
Yada Padam Te Nirvanam
Devahuti Uvacha.
Devahuti Uvacha.
Devahuti said.
Devahuti said.
Kachit.
Kachit.
What?
What?
Twayi.
Unto you.
Unto you. Uchita.
Uchita.
Proper.
Proper.
Bhaktihi.
Bhaktihi.
Devotional service.
Devotional service.
Kidrishi.
Kidrishi.
What kind?
What kind?
Mama, by me,
Gochara,
fit to be practiced,
Yaya,
by which, Padam, feet, Te, your, Nirvanam, liberation, Anjasa,
immediately.
Anvashnavai shall attain.
Aham.
I. What form is that? Anvashnavai.
Anvashnavai.
Yeah.
Is it I?
It's an I there. I think it. Yeah, it's I. I think it's a Vedic subjunctive.
Really?
Yeah. Or it's It's just Parasmaipita Lot Fatama Uttama Purusha Ega Vachana. Manye Manyai? That doesn't call it Manyai, right? Lot in the Amadepada, first person singular?
Lot means
I'm sorry, imperative.
Radhane.
Assuming it's Amanepada.
Yeah.
So I is that's it. It's imperative first person singular. Amanepada. Is it?
Yeah.
Anvashnavai. It's Ashnute. It's Ash. It's eighth class. That must be it.
Anu plus A plus Ash. Anu plus A plus Ash.
Yeah. Must be. Okay, that's it. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. On hearing this statement of the Lord, Devahuti inquired, what kind of devotional service is worth developing and practicing to help me easily and immediately attain the service of your lotus feet? Purport. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita that no one is barred from rendering service to the Lord. Whether one is a woman, or a laborer, or a merchant, if he engages himself in the devotional service of the Lord, he is promoted to the highest perfectional state and goes back home, back to Godhead. The devotional service most suitable for different types of devotees is determined and fixed by the mercy of the spiritual master. Actually, I wasn't wrong to say that it's a Vedic subjunctive because the first person imperative is actually derived directly from the subjunctive, from the old subjunctive.
Oh.
There is no subjunctive in classical Sanskrit. It survives in the first person forms of the imperative because the imperative first person doesn't make sense anyway to order yourself to do something. It has the sense of may I do it. I may do it.
Possibility,
yeah.
I should go, it's not like, what is it?
I might go.
I should go, but it's not the same idea as telling somebody to do something.
It's like maybe, like
it's something. It's something similar to Vidi, but it's possibility, it has the idea of should sometimes.
Somebody called that optative.
Also called the subjunctive optative?
Optative, somebody, I think, by far, somebody called that optative.
Great. stupid optative is vidilin.
Yeah, it makes a distinction between the vidilin and the...
Okay. Anyway, we won't get into that. This is Vedic grammar. This is not the Vedic grammar class some other time. Editing point. That whether one is a woman or a laborer or a merchant, if he engages himself, this is modern editing, may that be considered politically incorrect. You have to say he or she, but actually that's not the way it always was in English. He is generic.
Every language is like that.
Yeah.
It's like that you have inherent in almost every language.
No, but it's... it's natural. Trying to emasculate the language is unnatural. The poet is allowing the women all rights to perform devotional service, but still grammatically it's he. And Devahuti is here addressing her son. She's the mother. She's a woman. He's her son. That relationship is there, but she's transcended that relationship. She's asking, how can I... This is not just a general question about anybody and everybody. She's asking, how can I engage in devotional service to you? It's very specific and personal. But the personal relationship here is transcendental. A mother doesn't talk to her son like that. How can I develop pure devotion to you? Feed me plenty of pizza and ice cream. No, it doesn't work like that. You can't function as a mother on that level. She's not functioning as a mother here. She's functioning as a devotee. This is Arjun asking very similar questions. Actually, it wasn't Arjun. This is, I'm thinking of the question asked by Narada to Brahma. Yaya sandaryate yogo yadvishi yatra samata. Of course, he was talking about dharana and yoga, about dharana is the sixth stage of the Ashtanga process, the stage of fixing the mind with one pointed concentration. So, she's asked, Brahma was being asked by Narada about that kind of dharana, but it's the same thing. Real dharana is meditation. Real meditation is devotional service. The impersonal meditation is incomplete and misdirected. The real object of all meditation, dhyana mangalam, that's in the Gopi Gita, isn't it? This phrase, dhyana mangalam, that you're the good fortune of our meditation. In other words, you're the real object of meditation. So when Narada is asking about the method of dharana, when Devahuti is asking the method of devotional service unto you, my son, basically the same question. Very similar. Narada is also a son, and he could be taking advantage of his privileges as a son and dealing with his father as a father, but no, he's dealing with him as guru. Although the relationship of Narada as son with Brahma father, there's no mother involved here. Narada doesn't have a mother, right? Okay, I'm right. He was born from Brahma's heart? Narada? From his... one of the mental sons, yeah. There wasn't a mother there. So the relationship between Narada and Brahma is relatively pure. There's not much inebriation of ordinary family connections there. It's not ordinary family. No mother. In the case of Devahuti, it's more an ordinary family, but the mother, the son, and the father who's already left home, they've transcended the ordinary connections, the ordinary attachments and inebriations. They may be out of humility talking about themselves if they're still in Maya, but they're not. Therefore, it's theoretically possible. Here's one case of Grihastha's transcending illusion. It can be done, theoretically, or at least, not even theoretically, here's one case. I don't know how many other cases you'll find but it can be done. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, another case. He was not a businessman, but a professional man with a big family to maintain. And he was fulfilling his roles in society, upstanding member of the community, Bhadralok community. He was a proper modern Bengali gentleman, living along with the British rulers, playing their games. Successful man. But he was recognized in his transcendental identity by the pure Vaishnavas, as few pure Vaishnavas as there still were around at that time in Navadvip. The real devotees recognized him and honored him as Acharya, despite his external appearance. So at least in some cases, in some rare cases, Grihastha can be completely transcendental. No one is barred from rendering service to the Lord. Mahi partha vipashritya yepi syu papa yonayaha shriyo vaishyastata shudras. Even women, shudras, vaishyas, even Americans and Australians can not only do some service for Krishna, but can reach the highest perfection if they simply take shelter of Krishna. It just requires taking shelter of Krishna means becoming Krishna conscious. Therefore, Prabhupada named this society, the Society, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Our purpose and our method is to become fully aware of Krishna. And you can't be properly aware of Krishna without becoming attracted to him. How can you fail to be attracted to him? Parikshit asked this question. Ka uttama shloka gunanuvadat pumanviradyeta. What human being can fail to be attracted? Nivittadhar shayar upagiyamanat. This is from the beginning of the first chapter of the 10th canto, right? Somewhere at 14th verse or something. So Parikshit is asking the questions in response to which Shukadeva is going to begin speaking Krishna Leela in 10th canto, important questions. If he didn't ask them right, then Shukadeva would not be pleased and we wouldn't have a 10th canto. You want Shukadeva or someone to speak to you Krishna Leela. You don't just say, hey Swamiji, give us some Krishna Leela. You have to be respectful and show that you're ready to hear Krishna Leela. Materialists will not be allowed. A real sadhu will not pander to the tastes of materialists and indulge their, tickle their fancy with Krishna Leela. It's not to be used cheaply for the entertainment of materialists, especially as a business to make money. One who does that is a prostitute. The Shukadeva Goswami is not a prostitute. He's not going to speak Krishna Leela. Of course, Shukadeva, Parikshit has already earned his trust. Parikshit has been listening for, I don't know, what, 5.5 days at this point? 4.5 or 5.5 days, he's already been listening and shown himself to be a fit hearer of the Bhagavatam. Still, he is expected to ask these questions properly and encourage Shukadeva to begin speaking Krishna Leela. So is Parikshit's question, or his comment, is a question also. Nivittitar shayar upagiya manat. These wonderful pastimes of Krishna are sung about by people who don't have any material interest. preachers talking in general, but that really fits. It's a fitting description of Shukadev. Someone who didn't even want to enter the material world, didn't even want to come out of his mother's womb and have anything to do with Maya. He wasn't interested in education. He wasn't interested in studying so many shastras. He wouldn't even take Upanayanam. He ran away from home before even that could happen. He didn't study anything except for the Bhagavatam. So he was disinterested in everything material, but he perfected his life by first hearing and then reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. By Kirtanam, Shukadev became perfect. I don't remember the exact words. Shravane Parikshitan, there's something about Shukadev. Shukadev became perfect by chanting. But before he chanted, he first heard from his father. Shravanam is a more basic process because there's no prerequisite. Just sit down and hear. Take the cotton out of your ears and listen. But before you can chant, you have to first listen. In that sense, it's a derivative process. It's based on first hearing. Such persons as Shukadev, who have no material interest, no interest in anything mundane, they're very eager to chant about Krishna's pastimes. Bhavaushadach, and these narrations are like a very wonderful medicine that cures the disease of material birth and death. Doctors, modern medical science, may have so many treatments for so many diseases, and some of them may be very effective, although they probably have also bad side effects. Ayurvedic medicine can deal with many diseases, although the method is more difficult and takes more discipline for the doctor and the patient. But neither system has a cure for bhavoshadi, for birth and death. When a man is fated to die, no doctor in the world can save him. No doctor can prevent someone from ever dying. The death will eventually come. It can be postponed. You can stop it from happening from one cause, but it will have to happen from another cause then. The karma must be carried out. And even people who can modify their karma, even people who can rid themselves of all karma by pure devotional service and earn liberation, they still have to die. The body will die. Even the Jivan Mukta, his body will die. Liberation can be earned by hearing, simply by hearing Krishna Katha. There may be more other methods. Jnana is usually the sadhana for mukti. But there is a simpler method, simply Krishna Katha, hearing Krishna Katha. Shrota Manobhiramat, and medicine may be bitter tasting, but this medicine is very pleasing to the ears and the heart. Very similar to what was just said in verse 25. Satam prasambhan mama virya samvido bhavanti vitkarna vasayana pata. The advantage of taking the association of saintly devotees is that you will be able to hear them speaking about Krishna. Kathas, and not just kathas written by mundane people who don't really have any love for Krishna and don't know much about Krishna, but they have some mundane poetic or literary skill and they write and speak their kathas. That kind of cheap katha is not of much value. But the katha which is Madhvirya Samvid is imbued with actual realization of Krishna's greatness. You may think that Krishna is very cute, but you cannot properly glorify him if you don't first of all appreciate how he's great. He's not just a cute boy, he's God. And if you don't understand how he's God, you cannot properly glorify him. Those who don't should keep their mouths shut and not present themselves as katakaras, as narrators of the glories of Krishna. They don't know Krishna, and they have no right to claim to be glorifiers. So who, Parikshit asks, Uttama shloka gunana vadat vin puman, what human being can fail to be attracted if he gets a chance to hear these glories and hear them from a proper person? You can say, well, if you hear them from mundane people, don't expect much effect. But what if you hear Krishna Katha from pure devotees? Shouldn't that necessarily have a potent effect? What man can fail to be attracted then? But Parikshit, it's a question, but it's a rhetorical question, because before the end of the verse he supplies his own answer. Vinapashubnat. This is called Sandeha Alankara. There's doubt. But sometimes there's two kinds of Sandeha. The Sandeha that doesn't get resolved. Hey you! Sorry. Sandeha that's left unresolved, and Sandeha that gets answered within the verse. Doubt, I guess. So this doubt gets answered by Parikshit. Ooh, what human being? How can a human being? This is doubt. How can a human being fail to be attracted when he hears pure Krishna Katha? Vina Pashugnat. Unless he's a Pashugna, a killer of innocent creatures. Now that means a few things. Pashugna. It means literally an animal killer. Not just a butcher. Not just an employee in a slaughterhouse, but anybody involved in that slaughtering process is also Pashugna. The person who ships the meat, the person who sells the meat, and the person who eats the meat, the person who cooks the meat. They're all equally culpable. They're all Pashugna. Killers of innocent animals. Pashu is a victim in the Vedic sacrifice. That's the original meaning of it. Then Pashu also means a wild animal. But we can understand it to mean innocent animal, victim. I mean, if you kill, if there's, you know, Godzilla is, you know, ravaging the earth, stepping on buildings and killing people. If someone kills him, he's a hero. If you kill a ferocious creature, then that's not bad. But if you kill an innocent creature just for your sense gratification, that's Pashugna. Slaughterer of innocent animals. But it has other meanings too. The jiva is called Pashu because he's a captured animal, the conditioned soul. Lord Shiva is Pashupati, not just because many of his followers are almost like animals, but because all the jivas are called Pashu. He's the lord of the jivas. Pashugna means atmahatya, suicide. Someone who kills himself. You can kill yourself literally, or you can kill yourself spiritually. Or in between, you can destroy your subtle body by intoxication. So someone who is indulging in intoxication is Pashugna, is committing, let us say, mental or subtle suicide. He's destroying his subtle body by that intoxication. That's also Pashugna. And there's spiritual suicide. Those who indulge in Mayavad philosophy, in hearing and speaking it, they're killing their souls. Not really killing their souls, but they're killing their chances of realizing their souls. They're committing, in effect, spiritual suicide. That's also Pashugna, and that's the worst variety. So who can fail to be attracted to hearing Krishna's glories recited by pure devotees other than meat eaters, persons who are committing suicide in the form of intoxication, and Mayavadis and their disciples? Anybody else should be attracted. We just have to become pure devotees, go out there and chant, and the world will be changed, because there's many people out there who are innocent. Ishvare tadadineshu balisheshu. So to the balisha, the childish, innocent people, we should deal with compassion. Jiveshu daya. That is in the form of preaching to them the glories of Krishna. We should recite the pure glories of Krishna, not some advertising hype that will attract people. We should actually recite the glories of Krishna. Otherwise, what's the effect of our preaching? What's the use of it? We should spread Krishna consciousness, but it should be pure Krishna consciousness, not some adulterated thing. And then many innocent people should be attracted. There's no reason if they're not Pashugna. And the Pashugnas we can try to convert. You're eating meat? Take this prasadam. You might like it better. Yeah, you got this Mayavad philosophy? Well, we have a few things to say about Mayavad philosophy. Maybe you'll agree with us. Maybe. Prabhupada took that as his mission, to fight directly against Mayavad philosophy, especially in its manifestations in the Western world. Nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatya deshatarini. Someone may think that, well, there's no such thing. There are hardly any Mayavadis and Buddhists running around in the West. Yeah, you see once in a while you see some. There are a couple of small Buddhist ashrams in Honolulu, but you know, maybe a few other places in the United States. But generally in the West, you don't see too many, you know, Ekadandi sannyasis and Buddhist, you know, monks running around. But the Nirvishesha and Shunyavadi are still all pervasive. The whole materialistic viewpoint is impersonal, that we deal with other people as things rather than people. And the official religion of the modern world is science. And materialistic science has the program that we will dominate nature. We will understand and dominate nature. So this is the same program of the, psychologically, no different than the program of the Mayavadis, that everybody is God. You know, we can analyze, study Vedanta Sar and other books. They'll explain to us what Maya... Hey, you!
Hey!
What? Sorry. What's going on in the illusory world, so that we can become beyond Ishvara, we'll become Brahman. This is the program of science, also of modern world. Modern life means to try to become the controllers and dominators of everything. It used to be in the Western world by conquest. One tribe would try to go around marauding and conquering, and European civilization was founded on the basis of that. The marauders in later generations became gentlemen, and they were the leaders of European society. And then after that, it became economic conquest instead. Now Sony and Walt Disney are conquering the world, and Pepsi Cola economically, and dominating everything. But it's the same program. So Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarini. Prabhupada's mission is to deliver the modern world from... what's the modern world? The modern world. Deliver the modern world from impersonalism and voidism. But that's not just something that you find only practiced and taught by Mayavadi and Buddhist monks, but it is the world philosophy, this impersonalism. Okay, so any questions or comments? Yes.
Maybe you have any information that when I was speaking the Bhagavatam, would they stop and speak, or were they continuing throughout the night?
There was no meals. Parikshit wasn't eating and drinking. I don't know. Did he not sleep either? Did it go on for day and night? I may have, may have.
That's the impression that I got.
Yeah. I think so, yeah. No stop.
That's serious.
I mean, nowadays, you know, real serious Bhagavat Saptaha, the guy will speak for 6 or 7 hours a day. But that's it. You know, and the audience are just wandering off and, you know, chattering with each other. And they're not fasting, and they're not sitting there for, no one's sitting there for 6 hours, just the speaker. But that's the limit, and you know, nobody's going to try to do 24 hours.
Yeah.
You want to do a real Bhagavat Saptaha? 7 days, without any stop, for meals or anything.
It makes you wonder if they actually spoke more things than what's recorded, because if they're going continuous for 7 days, then the Bhagavatam as we know it would have been.
I don't know about that. I did sort of some sort of calculation. It seemed to come out right. Why, they would speak all the verses too fast?
Well, I mean, it seems like it wouldn't take that long to say to read just the verses.
Well,
they're different lengths.
My wife was recording these chapters. They took about 12 to 15 minutes each.
Mm.
You can calculate from that, 315 chapters.
But there are different lengths as well.
Yeah, but it's an average rating of about 42 and a half verses is the average Bhagavatam chapter.
What I mean is that the Bhagavatam in this realm is of a certain length, and Bhagavatam in, say, Svarga is of a greater length, and Bhagavatam elsewhere is of a different length.
Oh. What you're talking about is the one Purana, but it's not just the Bhagavatam, it's all 18 Puranas, and it's 1 billion verses. That's still spoken in Svarga Loka, but that's the Bhagavatam within that. I don't know if it's any bigger than 18,000. 18,000 is sort of the standard Bhagavatam. Okay, maybe there is a bigger Bhagavatam, I don't know. But anyway, the one Shukadeva spoke was 18,000 verse. There was this one. I don't think that there's some, you know, missing cantos that were spoken by Shukadeva that weren't recorded.
Well, like, I mean,
no, it's he's distilling the essence from what he heard from Shukadeva. He's not repeating.
Oh, okay.
He's not claiming to repeat what he heard. He's saying something based on his understanding of what he heard.
Okay, it's not that he heard two stories.
No. That's not claimed, that these stories... The claim is that this whole narration of the Brihadbhagavatamrita is originally spoken by Jaimini to Janamejaya.
Right.
That it formed the appendix to Jaimini's Mahabharata.
Right.
That Sanatana Goswami is telling us. But he's not telling us that what Pariksit told his mother was verbatim something he heard from Shukadeva.
Right, yeah. Do we have any information, like, now, is there some time left, you know, between when Sukadeva finished speaking and Maharaj Pariksit?
It should have been just a few minutes, maximum maybe 1 hour, when you know, at the point that his mother showed up, according to the story in the Brihadbhagavatamrita.
Yeah.
He only had, you're not sure, you know, there was no schedule that, you know, Takshika arrives at 11:45, you know, but he expected just, you know, it could be minutes, but because he spoke to Brihadbhagavatamrita, it stretched, the time was extended. For as long as it took to speak to Brihadbhagavatamrita, which is also a big book, it's 2,600 slokas.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So that must have taken several hours to speak.
Hmm.
So Takshita didn't, you know, was waiting behind the curtains until he finished. He got delayed on the road by Bhrigu anyway.
Right. So that was all happening on the left.
Dad has told us, yeah, we're told that. The Shukadeva was finished, and Pariksit was sitting there waiting, what's next, yeah.
Right.
Pariksit was waiting. And his mother showed up.
Yeah.
Okay. That's it. Thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad.